Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. Oh, it has begun. 40 for 40. Every single bowl previewed by the Shutdown Fullcast crew just in time for bowl season. Are we going to stay on top of these? Barely. Are we going to give you the in-depth knowledge that you need to know to appreciate every single bowl matchup? No. No.
Yes.
Oh. Yes.
Absolutely.
Not.
Maybe.
We'll meet you halfway is what we're saying. We'll talk about each one of these absolutely as long as they deserve. That is the rule with 40 for 40. If a bowl game deserves 15 seconds, we'll give it 15 seconds.
If you disagree with our choices, you can write to Bill Connolly at SB Nation.
That is my email.
However, this year we are doing it slightly differently. We're not releasing each bowl as its own episode. We're going to do those. We're going to do them in chunks, and you're going to eat them in chunks like some sort of sad omelet from your uncle who has no idea what he's doing, and there's not even eggs in this. Why is it an omelet?
Podcast. Mm-hmm. What's that podcast?
You're going to eat this in delicious chunks like the hungry dogs that you are.
Suck hey, boy, grab yourself chunks. A chunk of omelet. I just made some fresh omelet. Get you a chunk.
First chunk, the New Mexico Bowl featuring...
Oh, we got to stop calling it chunks.
North Texas versus Utah State. I have an important announcement before we get going. Based on what I can tell, this game is no longer the Gildan New Mexico Bowl.
No!
So
yeah, I know.
Wait, are the trophies still made from pottery and leather shields?
The trophies are still authentic local native pottery and shields, I believe. Leather shields.
I believe we got through this. We got through the entire tenure of the Gildan Bowl without me dropping my singer-songwriter track. She wants that Gildan dick.
Well,
you
just could,
did. You know what? That spot with that song could be a sponsor of this bowl game from what I can see, because leading bowl sponsors on the now brandless New Mexico Bowl.
It's the first podcast of these and we are already resorting to just reading off the bowl website.
No, I was just saying my favorite sponsor on this, if you know, we could get there. 95.9 FM and 610 AM. What is the name of this sports station? Guess, don't look.
1000% it's a sports animal.
The Chunk.
The chunky omelet.
The crowd.
Holly is correct. It's the sports animal.
Oh, I was just saying it's a generic animal.
No, it is the sports animal.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I was saying it's a sports animal.
That would be the best branding if you messed up all the, like, if you messed up all the stationery and put 95.9 FM at 610 AM, a sports animal.
The sports marmot.
The sports, here he comes. He's moving slowly, but he'll get there.
He loves sports.
The sports tardigrade.
He can't be killed. He can't be killed, and he loves sports.
Our takes can survive absolute zero. That's how hot they are.
We don't need oxygen. Yeah. Sports tardigrade.
This is the sports tardigrade is telling you that the two teams involved in this are surprisingly good. These are surprisingly good teams.
No, it's a good game.
Yeah, yes. No,
this
it's hot.
This is a great kickoff. This is like the best possible kickoff to bowl season, considering it's going to be, you know, like non-conference champs and all that. This is a great kickoff.
Utah State.
Also, everyone's losing their head coaches, I believe.
Is Seth Luttrell going anywhere?
Seth Luttrell is...
As of recording, he's in the running for Kansas State.
Okay.
Yes, we'll see how that turns out by the time people hear this in several days. But
okay. Yeah. Matt Wells is leaving to go to Texas Tech. The interim coach, Frank, I'm going to assume this name is Miley, and his wife have three sons, Maximus, Samson, and Titan. They also have a daughter. Her name, Cecilia. I promise you. Cecilia is the one you don't want to fuck with. I promise you. Cecilia is the meanest.
Can I follow up to this story with a set of three sisters in a school my friend teaches at?
Yes.
And I'm going to ask you to spot the Hellraiser among these three sisters.
Okay.
Annie, Sarah, DeLorean.
I'm going with Sarah.
You'd think so, but you'd be wrong. It's Annie.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cecilia. Yeah,
they end up marrying two of the Muhan brothers.
Next
Cecilia
up,
has definitely bullied Samson. And no, we're not. Get back on track, goddammit.
That was a good game. We should talk about this.
Next up is the Las Vegas Bowl.
Jason's on tilt.
That was
already.
The Cure Bowl preview.
Jason's already done. No, come on. Nah, you can do this. You can talk about the New Mexico Bowl.
This is why I wanted to do discreet podcast.
Okay, I'm moseying back to the New Mexico.
Cheap.
This, according to Wikipedia, this game is the only annually nationally televised sporting event in the state of New Mexico. The whole state. This represents you. Don't fuck it up, North Texas and Utah State. Because we don't see New Mexico the rest of the year. We don't know what happens there. We don't know if they're living in squalor. We watch this game, and we hope that they're fine. We don't know.
I mean, you forget, by the way, New Mexico has more elk than people. There's like 83 people in New Mexico total.
You and the animals. We're not going to get you. No, we're not doing this. You don't know what animals are.
Are you sure it isn't a large dog?
Excuse me. I am quoting Hal Mummy here, who would know, because... I think he went like 8-73 at New Mexico State.
Right.
I think he was trying to find a way for football to be played by elk so that New Mexico State could have an advantage. He's brilliant, but he never figured out a way to make that happen.
I did find out doing a little background research for this game that North Texas, in a weird way, and SMU are the reasons why we have Hayden Fry and in turn Kirk Ferentz at Iowa.
Go on.
So Hayden Fry gets hired as the coach and the AD at North Texas before the 1973 season. At the time, they were thinking about dropping down a division in football or maybe not even having a team. But he got them a share of the, at the time they were in the Missouri Valley Conference. He got them a share of that title. They decided to leave the conference because they wanted to find a more football-oriented conference, something more local. They were trying to get into the Southwest Conference.
Like the Puritans.
Correct. This did not work, and North Texas spent a shit ton of money in the process trying to get into the Southwest Conference, mostly being blocked at every possible turn by SMU, where Hayden Fry had coached previously. Does anybody know why he left?
I do not.
Gambling debts.
Because he clashed with boosters who wanted to start a slush fund, and Hayden Fry thought that was a bad idea. Whoops. So he goes to North Texas, and he's extremely good at North Texas. They go 10-1 in 1977 and 9-2 in 1978. But this, at this point in college football history, does not get you a bowl invitation. That's right. You could go 10-1 and not make a bowl game. So Hayden Fry decides, well, the Mean Green are never going to make it into a bigger conference that suits their sort of football needs. And he did not want to keep being athletic director because it turned out that sucked as well. So even though he had never been to Iowa, that's the job he ends up taking next. All because Texas is full of cheaters and incredibly spiteful people.
Wait, so Hayden Fry was a real person?
Yes.
I thought that was who Craig T. Nelson played on Coach.
It can be both.
Cool. Carry on.
Yeah. Hayden Fry, by the way, the coach at Iowa, who also said when he was asked how a guy got the starting job, this linebacker who was an extremely Viking-looking dude, very well-built, Hayden goes, well, I like the way he looked coming out of the shower, so I gave him the job. Every reporter going. Yowza. Yeah, that and by the way, like, just to give you an idea of where North Texas has come from this, in 2015, they're 1-11.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Seth Luttrell's done an amazing job there. And Utah State not the easiest place to win.
They took a bit of a dive after Gary Anderson left, right?
They did. Although they were.
It took a few years. Yeah. They were like 10 win for another couple of years, and then they had a bunch of QB luck, bad QB luck, and lost a ton of close games. So like they've been pretty good for the last 5 years. The record just hasn't reflected.
Okay, fair.
Yeah. So yeah, a lovely little bowl game in a lovely place, Albuquerque. You know, where the stands will be filled with elk. Really engaged, entertained elk.
But all the t-shirt money dried up.
Okay, now.
Oh, speaking of dried up, I almost forgot my favorite New Mexico Bowl fact.
Hmm.
Which was the year it blizzarded in Albuquerque, and they had to bring in helicopters to dry the field. And then when they dried the field off, they discovered all the grass had frozen and died, so they spray painted it green.
Oh, it's St. Patty's Day in December.
It's beautiful. Anyway, carry on.
Oh, Dad screwed up Mother's Day breakfast. Oh, well.
I'll just spray paint these pancakes. Cure Bowl!
Cure Bowl! This one is real Louisiana scrum diddlyumptious squabble.
What says Louisiana more than Orlando?
Tulane, and I can never remember, what are we supposed to call them at this point? They're very particular about it.
You're just making one person mad.
Okay. You can either call the name of the university, it is acceptable to call it UL Lafayette. The name of the sports team, they want you to call them Louisiana. If you do that, then LSU fans will kill you.
All right, so I'm going to call them LULAF.
Also, just call them the Raging Cajuns, which is a great name.
Yeah, that's the easiest thing to do.
I'm going
to
call... This is Tulane versus LULAF, and that's what I'm going to go with.
This is the closest thing FBS has to Washington, D.C.'s NFL football franchise, where you have to say the name in this whole weird way.
The Los Angeles Lafayette Angels of Raging Anaheim.
Angels of Lafayette.
If I wanted to appease LSU fans, wouldn't I ask Texas A&M fans? Because they own them now.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Spencer can be reached at Bud Elliott at SBNation.com.
No, don't do that. Bud will fight those people. That's not a good idea.
That's a great idea for me.
Oh, well, he's Bud a Florida fan. How'd you do against Florida this year, LSU? Yeah, about that.
You want to hear some real Florida shit about Orlando?
Did you just call Bud a Florida fan?
I think Bud will just be like, A&M fans, yeah, I blocked all them during the Jimbo thing.
Yeah.
A&M fans, yeah, they're buy high, sell low idiots. I got no time for them.
Man, our attempt to shell everybody but Godfrey with our own strays is going to get us killed so much faster than like a solid year of shelling only Godfrey.
God, I hope so.
That's fine. Hey, do you know what Orlando's original name was?
What?
Jernigan.
It really is the Pittsburgh of Florida.
Jernigan.
Timmy Jernigan?
Like Timmy Jernigan. It was named after the first two permanent settlers, Isaac and Aaron Jernigan. Now, here's the twist.
AKA idiots. You know what kind of idiots you have to be to hit that spot of land and go, looks fine to me.
Also, what a bad idea to name the town after yourself, because... Now you can't have any conversation without it just going, who's on first in a fucking half second.
Or this. What abject failure patch is this? Why
Jernigan
named after me?
Don't worry, it gets better. So it's obviously not named Jernigan anymore, but nobody can really say exactly why it's called Orlando. There are a few theories. One, the neatest and simplest of them is that it's just named after the Shakespearean character from As You Like It. But there are multiple other options that basically all involve a man named Orlando, either as his first or last name, dying and being buried in this area. This is my favorite of those multiple dead man leads to town name stories.
So it's named after a groundwater toxin.
Yes. Here it goes. A man named Mr. Orlando was passing by on his way to Tampa with a herd of ox. He got sick and died. The locals buried him, and folks would refer to the place as There Lies Orlando.
That's wow. No, you know what? That's no dumber than another Florida town named Howie in the Hills.
Is that where Hungry Howie's comes from?
I really hope so. In addition, there's no hills there. And I just imagine it as like a really, really, they named it that because there was a really huge dude named Howie who lived in a pile, several piles of garbage there.
Nah, see, I think they named it that way to throw the cops off immediately. Where do you live? Howie in the Hills? Well, it can't be there. There's no hills there. Oh, he got away. Perfect Florida mastermind.
11-foot tall moron living in piles of garbage.
Yeah, I call it Howie in the Hills. Someday he'll start a pizza chain.
I don't know if this game will be good, but it will happen.
Mm-hmm. It'll definitely happen. Although I will also say this.
Brian, ESPN Events needs to hire you out for bowl season.
Yeah, this
even
is
better, this is a CBSSN game.
Oh,
so you know it'll be great.
Will they play the CBS theme that gets me all geeked for the SEC and then cut to this?
It's medicine!
Welcome to Orlando's fourth most important bowl game. The state of Louisiana's fifth and third best football teams.
Why are they showing all these old Auburn highlights during this opening? Hey, we just didn't want to pay for new ones. Sorry. what does Bill have to say about this game?
So the Raging Cajuns are underdogs, but Bill's numbers favor them. So anybody looking for a hot bet, the Cajuns are your team.
Anybody who's given up on their spiritual well-being, go ahead and bet American dollars on this amateur sporting event taking place to benefit a breast cancer research fund.
Hey.
This is
I'm going to donate all my winnings.
We forget this is not. This is not the pink terry cloth wristband brigade.
This is the good one, right? This is the Breast Cancer Research Fund, I think.
Yeah, this is BCRF, which donates a much higher percentage of their income to charity, actual charitable funds, and less to overhead and whatnot. If you're going with breast cancer as a charity arm, they are the good one to pick. So on that score, we cannot make super much fun.
If you bet on this game and you win, you have to, you are promising by listening to these words, you're promising to donate 20% of those winnings to BCRF.
Yes,
you're promising.
Please.
That's fair.
Or Bill will find you and Bill's mean. Oh, Bill's. Oh.
Bill doesn't get credit for being as mean as he is.
Bill's bigger than Howie.
See, you can go the day, you can go a couple days before, place a wager on the Cure Bowl. As a perfectly respectable adult thing to do, because you're standing where? On the streets of Las Vegas. The scene of the Las Vegas Bowl.
I don't get it.
Segway!
Are you saying we're going back to the New Mexico Bowl preview?
Yep, we are.
Yep, that's exactly what I'm saying.
This never happened when we actually did 40 podcasts, y'all quitters.
The Vegas Bowl!
Are we really going to try and do transitions for all these?
No.
No, I'm just...
They're all going to be as ham-fisted and stupid as that one was.
Yeah.
Okay, so now not only are we not doing 40 podcasts, we're not even doing like 40 discrete chunks.
You can taste the chunks in this.
Yeah.
I thought you said you didn't like the word chunk.
Can that be our squad name, the discrete chunks of the shutdown forecast?
That'll be our posse on Red Dead. We're the discrete chunks.
What's Red Dead?
The Las Vegas Bowl features my favorite storyline from the year 2018, not involving Texas A&M and LSU fighting on the field. It features the success story, the future of coaching as we know it, the man who saw the Matrix and read it beautifully. That would be Arizona State's 7-5 wonder, Herm Edwards.
The man who took a 7-5 team and made it a 7-5 team.
You know this means we get Herm photographed with showgirls now.
Oh,
and
Jesus.
A sombrero, right?
I don't approve of any of this.
No,
why
no,
are
that's
we doing
the sun
this?
Bowl.
Yeah, yeah.
That'll be it. This isn't football. Like, he's so NFL. They're like, you're posed with these dancing girls. They don't. That's against office protocol. We can't have them in here.
And on the other side, Jeff Tedford.
Wow, we are No, I was looking at Fresno's roster during the Mountain West title game, which was played in snow in Idaho, because I'm like, these fellows from California, and they have, you know, lots of players from Texas, lots from Florida, but they have a lot of players from Canada. And then I think it's like five players from Canada.
Wait, Canada?
And then I realize why.
Drake or
Jeff Tedford's CFL career. That man set up pipelines in Canada. He's the only one. He's cornered the Canada market.
That's right. BC Lions legend, Jeff Tedford.
Holy crap. So like that entire time away from college football was just laying pipelines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He'd already been there before. He was refreshing the roots.
Because he was a position coach when Dilfer was playing there.
I believe he played up there too.
He played for okay.
I'm not gonna look at the wiki to confirm that.
Oh yeah, he did. He played for fucking four different CFL teams.
See, just storming the Canadian.
Let's call him Sabretooth. He's no longer Jeff. He's Sabretooth Tedford.
He went up there and he only had one foe, the immortal Herm Edwards.
Jeff Tedford and his adamantium bones.
They made us in the same lab, Herm. What lab?
I love dogs.
Reindeer, whatever.
I wasn't born out of a dog, though. That's not true.
The Fresno State Bulldogs, really, like, just, this is an astonishing turnaround. Like, an amazing, like, it did, like, no snark, nothing.
I don't think it's that astonishing, honestly.
You don't think
I'm not saying it's not a great accomplishment. I'm saying I'm not surprised. I'm doing that asshole internet thing where I say that I thought this was going to be, like, a bang-up season for them.
They had certainly shown the capability to do something like this not that long ago, so.
Well, they were really good last year. It was the year before that everything was complete shit.
Right.
See, and I like Tedford, man. I like Tedford as a coach. I'm a mark for the ones who are always, like, trying to out-genius themselves and end up dick-tripping in spectacular fashion. And now he's in Fresno. Good for him.
I mean, look at how good Cal has been since he left. Or not. Good have they been, and that in order to get Cal back to anything like prominence, like, they had to reduce them to the caveman of the Pac-12. 10-9, good. No, Jeff Ted.
I would like to congratulate the Las Vegas Bowl on picking, these are probably the two teams that have the most resident alums in Las Vegas, right? Arizona State and Fresno State, like,
oh, absolutely.
They probably have satellite campuses in Las Vegas at this point.
There is something that's, I think, deeply unfair about the setup of this bowl.
Yeah,
the Pac-12 team gets to stay at Mandalay Bay.
Where does the Mountain West team stay?
Well, I'll get to that. Oof. Mandalay Bay,
circus.
It's real nice, right? Like, it's a nice.
Sure, it's
older, but it's nice. Yeah.
Yeah, no, right. I mean, it's going to be the kind of
just
town like
Herm Edwards.
Older, yeah, it's the Herm Edwards of resorts.
However, for the newer, jankier experience.
Yeah, well, the Mountain West. Now, mind you, 7-5 in the Pac-12 gets you Mandalay Bay.
Yeah.
Winning the entire Mountain West gets you the Hard Rock.
Which honestly smells like a Waffle House ashtray. Counterpoint.
$5 blackjack.
Magic Mike is in the building.
Oh, that's
which means
that's certainly what
possibly,
Jeff Tedford's going to be
possibly
excited about.
Get Jeff Tedford crouton from the bartending staff at the Magic Mike show.
That'd be true if he goes there. He's like, that guy's got great agility. Hey,
I'm
listen,
you
know, great coaches have spotted talent from the showers, and this is basically that. So
that's fine. Hey, could you just do a couple of vertical jumps for me?
Jeff Tedford going up to a dude in a Speedo like, you ain't from Canada by chance, are you?
Who's asking? I knew it. I spot you from across the room.
I hope they take everyone to see it, though. It's a spectacular show.
Yeah, he's a JUCO transfer from Magic Mike Community College.
This is how I know, by the way, like, if Alabama ever made this, this wouldn't happen, right? Because Nick Saban would be like, it's too far away from the stadium. We need better right. accommodations. Right. It would be like Alabama would be staying at the Wynn, right? And the other team.
Nothing on the strip is anywhere near the stadium.
And then and then the other team would be staying at like Circus Circus. That's how bad it would get.
Of course, right? The Tide would be staying at the Wynn because that's all they do.
Woo!
Oh boy.
Maybe Stratosphere too.
Maybe Stratosphere.
Speaking of not returning donations,
how many things did we have to unwind in college football to get to a point where it's Alabama and not Arizona State playing in the Las Vegas Bowl? Like, that's, we've fucked with the timeline aggressively to get to that point.
We can make it happen.
Is this an ESPN Events Bowl? I don't believe it is.
The Las Vegas Bowl?
Sponsored by that lube company?
No, it is not sponsored.
It is an ESPN Events Bowl, which means all things are now possible. Because
it's now sponsored by Mitsubishi Motors.
Interesting.
Yeah, nobody noticed that happening. It just sort of, they snuck that one in. Like, but all the ESPN Events Bowls.
Maker, or is there just some auto body shop that's called Mitsubishi Motors?
It's my boy, he'll fix you up.
It's Trent Mitsubishi.
Specifically the motors, not Mitsubishi
right.
wheels.
We don't do
or
brakes.
Doors,
nope.
Steering wheels, seats, none of that. Just motors. All the ESPN Events Bowls you discover on Selection Sunday that they're all essentially interchangeable. Like, you look up, like, wait, why is that team in a Sun Belt Bowl? Well, the TV boss man decided they are now. So if Bama falls down to a ESPN owned SEC Bowl, hey man, all bets are off. Or actually, they're on because we're in Las Vegas.
Last year, Reese Davis and Kirk Herbstreit did this bowl. What the this bowl consistently gets a top level crew.
Gosh, I wonder why.
it's on ABC this year. I think they like to sell it as like the spotlight game of the first day of bowl season.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Also, that's trading time off, right? I'm like, okay, listen, I'll go out and I'll do the Vegas Bowl, but you got to give me 3 days off in the middle of like a busy season.
I'm glad that they moved this bowl. I think this bowl used to be a little bit later because the last time I covered it led me to the saddest experience I've ever had in an airport, which is the Las Vegas airport on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, as recently as 2012, this game took place on December 22nd. So
yeah. Huh. Oh no, wait. Then I'm.
What's that airport situation like?
Yeah.
McCarran Airport.
No, on Christmas Eve.
Oh, God. It's so quiet, man. It's so quiet and nobody's making eye contact. It's real bad.
Imagine the scene in Home Alone where Kevin and his mother are reunited. Now do the invert of that. Just flip that.
Like, everyone, I imagine everyone is just fully aware.
Of their aloneness?
Yeah, yeah.
Except for Herm. Hey, everybody!
The opening of the Love Actually movie where I keep calling him Hugh Jackman. That'd be a much better movie. Where Hugh Grant is talking about like the arrivals gate at the airport and watching people like smile and hug and run. The antithesis of that.
This is baggage claim when your suitcase isn't coming.
This is emotional baggage claim, my man.
Oof. It's all damaged. I'll take it anyway. Whatever.
Somebody strikes big on like the slots at the airport on Christmas Eve, and they're kind of like,
The Christmas Eve Las Vegas to Nashville flight is something I never want to do again.
Jesus, man, this is getting sadder.
I feel like was Godfrey the pilot for that? I mean, Jesus.
Oh, man, and I had just watched Dennis Erickson cry, man. That was a hard year.
Man.
I think like a really evil Christoph Waltz is the pilot for that. Hello!
Welcome to hell! Merry Christmas!
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Just let it go.
What voice is that?
Just let it slide. It'll go into eternity. No one will ever remember it.
It's all Swedish Chef with you.
Yeah.
Cassio Dog, it's time to talk about the Camellia Bowl. Cassio Dog, it came upon a midnight clear. Go.
I'm not your performing reindeer.
The chameleon bowl.
Cassio Dog, it came upon a midnight clear.
Cassio Dog, bad.
No. And plus,
do it.
No, I'm not going to do that. That's a lame Christmas
song. Spencer, do Cassio Reindeer.
Oh, man. I just thought about that for a second, and it made my throat hurt.
Cassio dog, O Tannenbaum, go! Good, Cassio dog, good!
And then you gotta hit the fart button from the sample. Thank you, Gene.
Yeah, I got nothing to say about the Camellia Bowl whatsoever.
Nothing, no, man.
That's a great preview. Let's go.
It
sounds like Chameleon Bowl.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what Spencer is.
Yep.
He can adapt to any situation.
As long as it's Cassio Dog.
As long as it's Cassio Dog.
Okay, moving on.
Woo!
You can bet on Georgia Southern if you want. Next, the New Orleans Bowl.
App State versus MTSU.
Be a real interesting game. Scott Satterfield hadn't just taken the Louisville job.
I think it's still.
I think it's still gonna. Sorry, exactly what Ryan was saying.
Yeah, no, it's still got enough interest going for it, right?
Yeah.
It'll still give you about 37 points.
Plus, the New Orleans Bowl consistently is the bowl where you're like, well, I guess I can ignore it at halftime because one team's up by 20, and then you turn it back and you're like, the other team's up by 20. What the fuck just happened?
Also, for the second or third year in a row, they have moved this game from the incredibly problematic 11 a.m. local to the equally but opposite problematic 9 p.m. local.
I think, yeah, but that's the better problem. That's the easier problem to deal with for sure.
It's the worse and therefore better of two evils.
Oh, it's a lot of fun. I'm not disparaging it at all. This is going to be great.
I enjoyed the decline at one point. This bowl game had the Raging Cajuns in it like 3 years in a row.
It was great. Yes.
And year one, they were real, real, real hype about it, right? Like, wow, we're in a bowl game. It'd be awesome. Year three, they're like, they did the good place thing where they figured out, they're like, oh, we're in hell. This is the only place we can go. We can't go to any other bowl ever. We're just here, like Pitt in the Birmingham Bowl 5 years running, or however long that was.
What game is Pitt in this year? Let's go to that one.
The Sun Bowl.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, we're going to get to the Sun Bowl later. Don't worry about that.
Of course, Pitt is in way too good of a game to be discussed this early.
Yeah, you did it. I'm proud of you, and you did a good job. Scott Schaefer coaches on Middle Tennessee State. Did we know this?
Oh, I did not.
Okay. Gross. Rick Stockstill has
he's down here with the rest of us.
Between Scott Schaefer and Tony Franklin, Rick Stockstill has really assembled like a just one more job. Just want to retire.
I will not hear Tony Franklin put in the same category with Scott fucking Schaefer.
Yeah, you can't slander T. Frank that.
No, okay. What do those two talk about?
Yeah.
Hopefully they don't.
They probably continually rotate through new topics that they each have one sentence conversations about, right? Like Tony Franklin's like, hey, you ever had like a vegetarian Friday? Scott Schaefer's like, fuck you. Okay, next subject.
They've found like two things they can agree on for 1 minute.
We like football. Okay, cool.
Or like they have the same coffee order at Denny's, which is coffee.
Yeah. We both like football and the films of Eisenstein. It's crazy.
And Rick Stockstill, our golden god.
love him so much.
Scott Schaefer can't read. That's the only difference between them.
Is Rick Stockstill like what? The fifth most longest tenured coach in FBS at this point? He's got to be up there.
That sounds right.
He's been there since what? This is his 12th or 13th year or something?
Yeah, and I would also...
The Dean of Murfreesboro.
Yeah.
Man, that's grim now that I said it out loud.
It's fine.
I would also point out the other fantastic fact about MTSU that Brent Stockstill, I believe, was in the top three in active passing this year.
Who's Brent Stockstill, Spencer?
That would be the son of the coach.
Interesting.
Who's also the quarterback, who was born in 1994.
Huh.
Cassio dog, slow encroaching march of death. Cassio dog, dance macabre.
Yeah, he's...
No, seriously, do Dance Macabre no, with Casio Dog.
I'll have to remember the melody, okay? Take me a minute. Yeah, this was of course Brent Stockstill, who the quarterback who had the easy schedule this year. I believe ballroom dancing was actually
water aerobics.
He was taking teaching water safety, coaching and umpiring baseball, an athletic training class, and water aerobics.
So his major was camp counselor.